listening to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast hosted by Rhys Chanson.
Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story. A spin-off, if you might say, or a side story to the Queen Charlotte and the Mad King, King George. Quite an incredible story. 6 episode long, basically 6 hour long, because every episode is worthy of an hour at most. It's quite an interesting tale, and I like the way that it was presented, the way it was told, how they went back and forth in time in a way, where they displayed or gave us the backstory in a way, with scenes of the present day time, and we get to find out how Queen Charlotte became who she is, and why King George is what he is, and how he became her peace, or she became his peace. It's quite an interesting story. Now, I understand this is based off of some fact, some historical aspect of it, and I enjoy the first, the whole integrating black people into this thing. Now, of course, there is some black history within the British monarchy, so, and you get the whole thing out there, the racist, blah, 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 but that's not the talk of the day. We're talking about the whole story as a whole. The whole story as a whole was molded or crafted in such a way that it's actually beautiful. Queen Charlotte, when we first encounter her in the Bridgerton story, or the Bridgerton franchise, if you may, she is good for hosting or arriving at balls and finding the perfect bride to marry off to somebody. She hosts balls for the most eligible women or young ladies who will be swept away by these wealthy and promising young men and lords, viceroys and counts and all that. And we discover Lady Danbury, the old lady who has wit and style and finesse. We discover herself as a young lady and how she became friends with Queen Charlotte in the first place. Now, you could also say they're friends because she was black and they were black, blah, blah, blah. We can all give her that credit. But the way this thing is crafted is quite incredible. It shows the backstory of marriages back in the ancient times. It displays that so many marriages in olden days were loveless marriages. Some blossomed into love and some did not. It was a survive type of situation, if you will. Women bear children for men, so that they could live luxurious lives. And men got married sometimes so they can please their family and, you know, extend their bloodline out of duty and purpose and sense. And it gives you some sort of aspect of how difficult it must be to be a ruler of a nation in a way, to have the shoulders of the world on you. And yet, once you look at how Britain is founded, or Britain is molded, or Britain is made within the world stature, within the world state, the King of Britain, the King of London, or the King of England, to be precise, not London, is the King of the world. How British people displayed or exhibited themselves is in that scope or that hemisphere that they rule the world. And in order for them to rule the world, in order for them to be a powerful nation, they have to display some sort of perfection, some sort of facade of that. They have everything in control. That becomes difficult. Now, you can say there are various types of mad kings. There have been mad kings who slaughtered their people and fed them to dogs and hunted their people for sports and made people mate with animals. All sorts of things throughout history that kings are known to do. But then there's a king who's actually mad, like mentally disturbed. Has a few frits where he loses his mind, sometimes forgets who he is. And he sort of needs some sort of compass to keep him grounded, to take him where he needs to be. He needs an anchor. Yes, a moral compass to guide him towards the path of righteousness, and an anchor to keep him grounded from losing himself. Now, you get all these doctors of various skills and professions and all that to try to cure a king. of being a complete nincompoop. And somehow the love he has for women somehow molds him into the man that he desires to be. That is quite special, that these two people be thrown to each other with no love in existence, become so passionately in love with each other. It's quite exhilarating. And the whole aspect of them performing marital duties and, you know, the whole bedding aspect of it. It's quite interesting. And how there's so much sex in this thing. Oh my God. There's so much sex in this show. Like, a lot of sex, bro. Now, of course, there's nothing explicit or anything, but there's a lot of sex in the show. Like, a lot. There's pleasant sex where people are actually enjoying themselves, and then there's unpleasant sex where one guy is having the thrill of his life and his wife isn't, and one guy dies in the act of performing lovemaking or bedding, if you may. And it also shows the selfishness and the ego and the pride of men in that era, in that time, how even if their wives were to mold and bring them to where they are, they still feel like they should take the credit. And it also displays that there isn't a successful man without a woman. But of course, you can say that woman could be his mother or his wife or even his sister. But if a man is surrounded by egotistic, idiotic women, he will suffer. Sometimes you need greedy women who want to be powerful. In hindsight, making you powerful along the way. But of course, you have to appreciate them. That way they mourn your death and you don't have to be an asshole at the same time. If you look at Lord Danbury, if he had been more respectful to his wife, maybe she might have fallen in love with him. But he was an ass. And she had no love for him. She only had a purpose for duty. That takes credit and quite incredible. And once you think about the servants who serve all these high lords and varkests and counts and queens and kings, these people know a lot. Like, a lot. Too much at one point. But they know enough that could get them beheaded, but somehow they keep it all together. So, in hindsight, when you look at the story, a king really isn't a king. He's a symbol. He's a gimmick. Society around him, all the people around him, the servants, the advisors, are really the rulers of the world. Only difference is, if when everything goes to shit, the king takes the blame. And when everything goes to glory, the king takes all the blame. I mean, all the credit, in a way. So good or bad, you're the king, it's your fault. Congratulations, you fucked us, either way. Now when you look at the story, Queen Charlotte, it starts off her in her palace or in her little home in Germany, little town in Germany, where her brother pawns her off in order to save their little kingdom. And switches off immediately after she weds and, you know, becomes a whole different person in the sense that he treats her with respect of her being royal and that, and it takes her aback a bit. And of course, the first day of a wedding, she assumes that she's gonna get fucked, which doesn't happen because her husband, the king, is a crazy nincompoop. He's lost his mind, really. And this scene where she tries to climb up a wall and something, get away from this bastard, also interesting. And once you look at the first encounter, how the story flows at first, it shows her perspective of things. The king almost starts off as a bastard, an asshole, a self-righteous prick who seemed, at first I actually thought he was a fag. He was gay. Apologize. And then of course his butler, whatever he is also gay, queer. And that's a crow if you're listening, I'm outside enjoying the sunnery while recording this, so I might try to edit it out, but I think I'm gonna keep it because I already talked about there being a crow. So yeah, that's a crow van. Looks like several of them. Quite disturbing. Anyway, If you didn't hear it, great. I'm assuming it was audible because I can hear it loudly and clearly with my own ears. Anyway, since I'm sitting out in nature having a sip of tea and enjoying myself after watching a really great story, really great. And of course, I don't really want to spoil it to the brims of limbs and spoil it to its core, where you watch it and I've taken everything, every little piece of enjoyment out of it. No, I don't want to do that. So, I just want to say that it's well crafted, well written. It's incredible. I cannot wait for another spin-off, for another Bridgerton story. Where does it go? I understand these stories are based off a novel of some sort. I've not read the novel. I probably won't even read the novel. I'm just going to wait for Netflix to keep producing these gems. Because these are gems of stories. These are incredible. And I just hope that everybody listening to this episode that I'm dropping, and everybody listening and watching these, watch it with enthusiasm and excitement as I was when I saw the first trailer, when I saw it link up or pop up on my notification that it was out. I was excited. So I just had to dive right into it and indulge myself in pure excitement and thrill while enjoying this great-ass story. Now, a lot of things can be said about it. A lot of positives, a lot of negatives. Every story, every creation, every sort of thing that Netflix puts on the table, I will always have positive and negative reactions to it. But sometimes a story is just great that you overlook all the negativities and all the wrong things about it, and you just enjoy the story for what it is. And I, quite frankly, have enjoyed this for what it is. Truly enjoyed it. So, to you, I say, my dear man, my good friend, watch it, enjoy it, engage your mind in thrill and honor. I also suggest you watch this with a girl. Perhaps the amount of sex scenes will keep her or get her libido a little bit higher, get her panties wet and all that, and get you laid. Or if you're watching as a female, it'll get your man hot and horny, or whatever sexual preference you have, because there is a few scenes in gay sex, and there's the only thing I'm missing was some sort of animal intercourse. But then it's quite brilliant. There's science in there, there's a bit of agriculture, there's a bit of fashion and high tea. Oh, divine. There's a bit of gossip, backstabbing in a way, betrayal in a way, because Lady Damry does betray Queen Charlotte in a way by telling the king's, or queen, former queen in a way, King George's mother about, you know, Queen Charlotte's day-to-day activities, but she does it in such a way that she puts herself in a position of high demand, high quality, which is quite brilliant on her part. She gets herself a palace, a few lands, just for having tea with the queen and telling the former queen, or the queen mother, if you must, that, oh, the current queen does this and that. They fucking, it's quite odd that people are so concerned if two people are fucking when they're married. There's even a scene where the former queen, or the queen mother, says, in her time, there were people in her bedchamber while she was getting plowed by the former king. That is quite odd, is it not? It is odd. People have to stand there. Of course, there's a whole aspect, traditional aspect of virginity checking. We haven't even talked about that. But the fact that people are in the bedroom while you're fucking your wife for the first time, or you're fucking your husband for the first time, is totally beyond me. Shocking. I would have a problem of stiffness, you know, shyness. I don't think my boner would get hard if my mother or brother or cousins, even my bloody father, was in the room. I was trying to procreate or even have a nice time with my beloved. That would put me in such a nervous wreck. I doubt I'd perform. But hey, some people get excited. They say forbidden is always exciting. Perhaps I could be wild as a madman during that act, who knows. I think I've embedded my soul and thoughts into this far too much. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. This has been a Queen Charlotte story, a Bridgerton story. It's been a pal. It's been a blast. Let's hang out yet another time on the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast on the Reese Chanson Network. This has been your host, Reese Chanson. Thank you, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this on. Either being Spotify, Apple, or Deezer, I don't know where that, wherever you're listening to, Amazon Music, like, I don't know where you're listening at, or whatever you're listening at, because we're available everywhere. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, share us with your friends, and let's have a blast. Blasting off.
Now that was entertaining. You just listened to an episode of the Let's Netflix and Chill podcast with Reese Jansen. With that being said, remember to support the